Welcome to Underdog Stuff live radio show and podcast. Like we do every week, it is, you know what we do here. It's kind of the underdog journey of handling our business and our business. And we do it from all the angles, the unavoidable, unpredictable, the unconventional, the uninhibited, the unsaid, you know, underdog stuff. And as always, to take you on that journey, you have your host, Gregory Neesmith, entrepreneur and into all things underdog stuff. Also joined in studio by Terry Lynn Crawford, who is the creator and co-host of the Tea Room podcast and soon to be rising star talk radio host, right?
Yes.
I love the confidence. Say it like you mean it. And joined in studio by Asha Destiny Davis, sometimes called ADD, comedian, writer. And just because she has so much talent, she's like, I'm going to be an ad exec too.
Yeah. My day job.
Yeah, why not? And a proud Torontonian. Speaking of places where we repping, shout out to Philadelphia. The Five Philadelphia in the building. Carolyn, where are you from originally?
The Bronx.
The
BX.
Oh my goodness.
The
Bronx keeps on making it.
So all of us got like real cool rap music scenes in our city, you know?
Drake.
We got Tory Lanez.
Drake.
We got Maestro Fresh West.
Drake. And who else?
Tory Lanez. Cardinal Official. Party Next Door. The Weeknd.
Division
is dope.
The Bronx now is mad at you.
the first
thing out of your mouth wasn't like KRS-One or something.
Like, who y'all got? Fat Joe?
Remy Ma?
Shout out to Remy.
Tell her to leave back. Leave back. Matter of fact, well, hip hop will come up in today's show because that's what we do around here. But today's episode is episode 100, How to Live to 100. Literally and figuratively. We'll get into some unavoidable news. There's a lot of people running for president, and we'll talk about that. We'll also do one of my favorite segments, Unlisted, Better for Underdogs. And we're going to get into it. Omarosa's in it, Rachel Dozell, Illmatic. Speaking of rap, Into the Woo. Shout out to Staten Island. Nobody here from Staten Island?
No, nobody goes there.
Don't get the Staten Island folks.
I didn't come off the ferry. I was like, I saw it all. Get right back.
We love you for folks listening out in Strong Island. Or is that Long Island, Strong Island? Y'all, show some love to Staten Island. Anyway, also, we have the Underdog Spotlight today where, for once, it's actually going to be on us, the Underdog Stuff Show, because we're turning 100. And we'll talk about how you can literally live to 100 in your real life and also how you can make the 100 as a podcaster. All right, let's get into it. Unavoidable news of the week. You ready?
Ready.
Sometimes you gotta say it real loud because did y'all hear about the governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam?
What's going on in VA?
This dude in his yearbook, there's a picture of him, well, on his page of someone in blackface and then also someone wearing a Klan's KKK hood and outfit. And he said it was him. And then as of the other day, he moonwalked it back and said it wasn't him. He did kind of was in blackface, but it was only to be Michael Jackson in San Antonio.
So with the picture, because I mean, I don't know at what age you stop remembering stuff that happened in your life, right? But I'm assuming he doesn't have Alzheimer's because he's a governor, right? So how do you just look at a photo and then not remember if that's you or not?
Well, no, he did remember it was him. And then
he said it wasn't, though.
And then 24 hours later, he said it wasn't me. And the thing was, this was 1984. And the alarm's going off because the lie detector is like, he's probably making this all up. It was 1984. Jesse Jackson was running for president in 1984.
Exactly.
So I don't know. And then folks were talking about it was his yearbook. He was young. He was 25 or 26 years old. Is that still young enough to still be making young, youthful mistakes?
25?
No. Yeah, he was in medical school.
You know how old Tupac was when he died, right?
How old?
Younger than 25.
Underdogs, let us know what should happen next to Mr. Ralph Northam. It seems we still, during Black History Month of all months, folks still out here posing for pictures in blackface and KKK, and then tried to blame it on Michael Jackson.
Can that man just rest in peace? God damn.
No, he can't. All right. So enough about that. It's unfortunate that even in today's times, we still have to do stuff like remind ourselves that black is still beautiful and say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud, because there's governors out here still acting up. With that, everybody's running for president.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You like them brown, yellow, Puerto Rican, and Haitian?
Ooh.
No matter what you like, it seems there's a little bit of everything in the field so far. We got men, women, we got brothers, we got sisters, we got Native Americans.
I am not a person of color.
I mean,
can she live? No. Come on, she's Liz.
She's my new Hillary Clinton.
Come on, Liz.
I'm gonna stay on Elizabeth Warren.
I'm one of those people. I don't respect the way that people just focus on those types of things. Can she just live? Can we just not like her because of her actual policies and not just focus on one stupid thing she did, please?
That's fair. Her policies actually are probably better than her whole race.
I'm just saying. It seems like it's like the Hillary email thing. Mm. It's not cool to just keep deriding her for something that she's already apologized for.
I'm going to do it until the primary start, and then we'll get to official business.
Agree to disagree, but all good.
Fair enough. I can't wait till we get to Rachel Dozell and Omarosa.
Oh, boy.
And see whether we agree or disagree. Now, with that, there's some would say that Obama, while he ran as the first African, well, he became the first black president of the United States. Some would say he wasn't always very overt about his race. He, you know, kind of just let it speak for itself. But this year, it seems that the candidates who are seen as minorities and black are like letting folks know that, yo, I'm a brother or a sister. Kamala Harris, when did she launch her campaign?
She launched her campaign to launch Black History. Actually, no, on MLK Day.
On MLK Day.
Yeah.
When did Cory Booker, who just recently announced, what day did he pick to announce?
The first day of Black History Month.
Yes, he did. So I just want to play for folks that, while they are to be celebrated, I just want folks to know that they aren't the first and the only one. So I just want to play this one clip. Because it's Black History Month, we shout out all the underdogs. I want to give some shout out to someone who was even before Barack Obama, and someone who was even before Jesse Jackson, and before Kamala Harris, and before Cory Booker. There was this woman.
What made you decide to do this, to run for president of the United States?
What made me decide was that I felt that the time had come when a black person or a female person could and should be president of these United States of America, not only white males. And I decided somebody had to get it started.
Were you the first African-American?
Yes, yes.
Not only the first African-American woman, but the first African-American run for president of the United States.
That's right.
Yes.
And what I did, I felt that just about 2 years before, 4 years before, I had gone to the Congress as the first black person to be elected to the Congress. And I had gone on a number of speaking engagements through the country, and there was a fantastic development for me as an individual. And people were encouraging me, Ms. Chisholm, you should run. You should run because you're a woman. We never had a woman president. You're black. We never had a black person for president. You speak Spanish. You have a lot of things, and you have a knowledge of the issues. Run. And that's what motivated me
to make the bid.
Yes, spurred me on. But I knew I would be in trouble because the moment that the announcement was made that I was going to make a bid for the presidency, all hell broke loose.
And it seems all hell breaks loose still today.
Miss Shirley.
Yes, indeed. Tell them, Shirley Chisholm, representing New York City. Mm-hmm. And Brooklyn is where she was born. She went to college in Brooklyn and would become the first black congresswoman in America. And then, of course, in 1972, I believe, would become the first black woman to represent a major party and run for president. So before there was Jesse, before there was Barack, before there was Cory, before there was Kamala, we want to just play a quick shout out to Shirley, who did it first and paved the way. With that, do you think Cory and or Kamala is going to end up being POTUS?
I think her name's pronounced Kamala, but it's okay.
Do you think Kamala's going to be? My bad, Ms. Harris. Senator Harris.
You know, because she has the same ethnic makeup as me.
That's
know?
Right. Indian and Jamaican.
Yeah.
So now we know who you lean into. You're not going with the tender in chief and vegan?
Oh, boy. I like steaks. No, you know what? They are. You know what? I like them both. I'm really, really excited. You know, it's like, it's really cool to see all of the diversity that's going on in the political field this year, and not just tokenism, as we kind of saw with the Republicans in 2016. Yeah. You know, like it's really It's really cool to actually see different policies and different people of color actually being able to lean on laurels that are not just, hey, every person that's the same color as me just vote for me, which was kind of the hype of 08. You know what I mean?
I think you make a good point that I don't think people felt Shirley Chisholm had a chance. I don't think people felt Jesse Jackson when he ran in 84 had a chance. And to a certain degree, people didn't even think Obama had a chance, and he obviously proved them wrong. Mm-hmm. But this time, there's nobody saying, man, it's nice that she's running or he's running, but I don't think they have a shot. Like, they have legitimate shots.
Yeah.
And as credible candidates to be the president of the United States.
And I think that's what's beautiful. You know, you talk about the impact that Barack Obama had on children being able to have dreams, right? But you think about, we're alive at a time where we're actually seeing, you know, history being happening in the moment, you know? And like, we saw Barack Obama become president, and he actually has made it possible and easier for other people of color, to your point, to actually be taken seriously in bids for president. And I think that is probably one of the most beautiful things that we've been able to see in our lifetime, you know?
Shout out to Barack Obama.
Right.
Who you got, Terry Lynn? I mean, it's early, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, to your point, Asha, I think it's great that we are seeing more Black candidates coming out and knowing that they do have a chance now because of Barack, and it makes us more focused on their policies also.
Exactly.
Not just, oh, we have a Black man running, finally. Now it's like, okay, what are they really going, how are they really going to help this country?
Exactly.
So I think it's great. So I don't know yet. It is early, but I'm excited.
We're still a year away, I believe, from the Iowa primary, so we got a lot of time to figure it all out. With that, Underdogs, let us know, who do you got in the, who could be potentially the Democrat nominee for President of the United States when we get to 2020? That's the Unavoidable News of the Week.
The Un of the Week, yo.
The Un of the Week is about the Super Bowl. So as many people know, I haven't watched football in a while. Obviously, if it's on at a bar or something like that, I've seen it, but I haven't actively gone to watch it. And so I was like, how can I not act like I'm not aware of what's going on in society and culture, like the Super Bowl Sunday, Super Bowl week? So I do want to talk about football and football players.
Okay.
So this is how I want to do it. You ever heard of Beast Mode?
Yeah.
Beast Mode. Well, this is my shout out to Super Bowl Sunday, a former Super Bowl champion for the Seattle Supersonics. Supersonics.
Supersonics. Gary Payton.
The glove. Ah! Rayman, Sean Kemp. But not that Seattle.
Not Supersonics. Detlef Schrempf.
Ooh, y'all didn't think I knew about basketball.
That was impressive. I don't think we've ever said Detlef Schrempf on the show before until just now. And there's people like, they're like, I know Shirley Chisholm, but I don't know what Detlef Schrempf is. Shout out to we're the only show that can talk about Staten Island, Detlef Schrempf, and Shirley Chisholm all at the same time. But I'm talking about Beast Mode from the Seattle Seahawks, who won a Super Bowl not too long ago. So I want to play a clip of what he's up to these days, even since he's not in the Super Bowl.
And you do a lot against gentrification. Tell us what that is, first of all, for people who don't know what that means.
Well, I mean, it's basically when, for me, it's a lot of white people come over to the hood and kick everybody out that's there.
That's what it is, yes.
I mean, that's, that's, I mean, basically that's how it go. I mean, and I've been a witness of it since, you know, I was a small jitterbug. So, I mean, now that I'm, you know, I'm growing up and now I'm seeing and I understand it a little more.
What do you do to combat that?
Well, now, I mean, you know, I got into with banging my head against people. I had the opportunity to make a couple dollars. So therefore I started.
Right.
So therefore I started to go and, you know, buy up some real estate in, you know, the area where I grew up at, in order to give people opportunity, you know, for housing. And
you're a man of the people.
And that is my Super Bowl shout out for today. Marshawn Lynch being in beast mode, helping fight gentrification in his hometown of Oakland, which he now also plays for the Oakland Raiders football team. And that's his way of giving back and doing something good in the community. I feel like it's a bit of an underrated story of the week. And it's my under the week, weaving in football and what's going on out there.
Shout out to Marshawn Lynch.
Shout out to Beast Mode and Detlef Schrempf. And shout out to any underdogs out there who are not making maximizing profit their only goal in some of the things they do out here in the world. Are you a Marshawn Lynch fan?
You know what? I'm a fan of doing positive things in the community. I will say that. You know, I'm definitely a fan of, you know, as a Black person that can afford to live in certain, you know, different types of neighborhoods, I choose to live around Black people. I choose to live in my neighborhood. And once, you know, God willing, I'm in a position to be able to do something like that and give back to the community through property in such a meaningful way, that's definitely something that I would look up to be able to do. And I think as Black people, too many times we hold moving out of a Black neighborhood as some sort of like status symbol. And me coming from Toronto, having never lived in a place where you're surrounded by Black people, I just think that that's so crazy because it's such a blessing to sort of be around your own culture and your own people. And it does so much good.
Shout out to Harlem, and Harlem's happy to have you here too. Yeah. And shout out to Marshawn Lynch and Beast Mode. And shout out to folks who'll be checking out the Super Bowl. I won't be, but I'll be rooting for the underdog though.
You gonna eat some chicken wings tonight though?
I mean, that always. Mm-hmm. Who needs a Super Bowl for wings?
What are you, ranch or blue cheese?
Blue cheese.
Mm, okay, can't eat that.
You're ranch?
I can't do all the sauces because lactose, you know what I mean? Oh. I like a little goat cheese sprinkle on my veggies.
Just lactose? No, not goat cheese? Mm-mm. So you and Cory Booker would never hang out?
Mm-mm.
He's single. You don't want Cory sliding up in the DM?
Nah, I like my wings gentrified.
Asha Davis, shout out to one of the original members of the Underdog Stuff team. Back in the day, we used to do a segment called Uninhibited. And what was Uninhibited about?
Uninhibited was where I get to ask Gregory any question ever that I want to. He does not know what the question is beforehand, and he has to answer the question honestly and uninhibited. Ooh. So, and he was, I mean, I threw him some curveballs and all the time. I mean, we got some juicy nuggets. If you go back to some of these episodes through the 100 episodes, you'll learn a lot about this guy.
Yes.
He's a team player.
They were uninhibited and unscripted because I never knew potentially what the question was going to be.
No holds barred.
All right. With that, you ready for a round of uninhibited? So you got uninhibited on my mind. We'll do unlisted, then we do uninhibited, then we're going to do the big finish, which is some thank yous, and then also how to live to 100.
Awesome.
All right. Unlisted, you ready?
Yes.
All right. Better for underdogs.
What does being Black mean to you? And why? Why do you want to be Black?
Well, I think that, you know, sometimes how we feel is more powerful than how we're born.
Okay.
And Blackness can be defined as philosophical, cultural, biological, you know, a lot of different things, right. A lot of different people. And I think you do have to kind of like walk the walk if that's who you are.
Okay.
So
you feel that you walk the walk of a Black woman?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So you can get with that. Better for the underdogs.
That was Rachel Dolezal. Yes. For those who may not know, the white woman claiming to be a Black woman.
Who was also the head of the NAACP.
Who was also the head of the NAACP. And who also sued Howard University.
Shout out to the HU, Howard University. So better for underdogs, Rachel, or...
So Amorosi, you're the new director of African American outreach for the Trump campaign. What's your pitch to Black voters? What do you say?
You know, the pitch is that we've had 7 years under this administration, under a Democratic administration, and we still see that our community is struggling. We see unemployment levels for African Americans at an all-time high. African Americans are looking for jobs. They're looking for skills and training for those jobs, and this administration has let them down. We are going to turn that around. Donald Trump is going to be the greatest job creator president that we've ever seen. And if you want to see 4 more years as an African American under a Democratic administration, you're going to see a continued pattern where they are just not providing for a community that right now really does need the support.
TLC, ADD, underdogs out there, better for the underdogs, Rachel or Omarosa?
Who's going first? You asking me?
Terry Lynn.
Let me go first.
And then I also will pull up that there was an IG poll for all of today's unlisted questions too. So I'll let you know what the underdogs are thinking too.
To be honest, I don't know, because after hearing that clip by Rachel, you can't walk the walk or feel like a Black woman. But then if you walk in a store, if you're being stopped by the cops, you're not living the reality of a black woman. So after that clip, I don't know. I think I'm gonna have to go with Omarosa, even though she was a Trump supporter and then try to backpedal by saying that he treated her badly when she was dragged out of the White House. So it's just like, I don't know who to choose for this one. Maybe Omarosa.
Okay, maybe. But you got to pick one. It's not unlisted unless you pick one.
Okay, Omarosa.
Okay. Now here's my two cents, because Gregory told me not to ramble. So here we go.
Are you doing this as a perception of a black woman? Are you identifying? You know, because Rachel said you can just like, self-identify.
I'm a strong black woman, okay? Have been my whole life, okay? Well, I'm also a Pakistani woman, but anyways. So, no, but I think there's two questions here. It's who's better for black people and who's better for underdogs? Because just because you're an underdog, that doesn't mean you're black. And just because you're black, it doesn't mean you're an underdog, right? So I think that there's two questions here. So if I'm gonna answer this definitively, I would say that in terms of who's better for underdogs, I'm gonna go ahead and say Rachel, because while she was working with the NAACP and doing different things, and she also does have mixed race children. And so potentially there were things that she may have actually done in real life that may have actually helped people of color advance in some capacity. I don't know all the details. When I'm gonna say who's better for black people, I'm gonna have to go ahead and say the black person here, because it's very problematic to have a non-black person coming out and saying these things about what does it mean to actually be black. Because at the end of the day, I can't go around and say that I'm a white woman. As much as I may—
You could, but people look at you crazy.
I can't do it. I can't, no matter how blonde I put my hair, no matter how much bleach I put on my skin, I can't go around and say I'm a white woman. Rachel had curly hair and tanned up her skin and made people think that she was not a white person. That's not cool.
So better for underdogs?
Better for underdogs, I'm gonna say Rachel. Better for black people, I'm gonna say Omarosa.
So this is interesting, right? Because the votes have come in and it was 100% for Omarosa. But this is tough, right? There's someone out here fronting on who she is, mm-hmm. but you can make the argument that she was out doing good in the world, but it came from a potentially very unhealthy place. And then there's Omarosa out here who has all those things, the pressures of society, trying to make it as a twofer, as a woman, as a black person, and trying to just hustle her way and make it in the system. And to a way has been true to herself, has hustled the game, and has never really totally fronted on who she is. She's kind of been like, I'm Omarosa. So do we side with authenticity over someone who was trying to do good but did it from like a bad place?
Or somebody that actually proactively did bad and helped to get Donald Trump to be president right now. Like that's, that's not cool for anybody.
But that's what I'm saying. So what's the lesson for it's like someone's listening and some, you know, we can learn from every situation. Is it best to have like an unhealthy foundation and do good, or to just be who you are, even if who you are may or may not be seen as something that works for everybody?
It's best to be yourself and be a good person. Be to the world what you would want the world to be for you.
But she's dropping mixtapes now about her time in the White House. So is she now doing better as Omarosa?
Perhaps she's evolved.
It's a tough one. But the underdogs have gone with Omarosa. Mm. And let's see if our caller has a point on this too. Caller, name when you're calling from.
Hi, this is Deborah from Manhattan.
Deborah from Manhattan. How you doing?
Yeah, how you doing, Gregory?
Hey, I'm feeling good. It's show 100 and... This is cool because one of the shout outs I'm going to do at the end are people who've gone on this journey for the 100 shows. And of course, I was going to shout out Deborah from Manhattan. Now I get to do it to you live over the phone.
Okay.
So first of all, just thank you for being on this ride with us to 100 episodes. It's a big deal.
Well, there were times when,
you know,
thank you.
You're wondering who's listening, who's there. And I knew that there was someone like you out there, not only listening, but would take your time sometimes to call in and let me know that we weren't on this radio alone, and I appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate you, too.
Cool. So what's on your mind?
I'm not really all of this, you know. I was okay. I was all right. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. But, you know, like when I hear black women talk about, well, perhaps she's evolved, you know, like we can accept her. I don't think she cares whether you accept her or not. And the fact that this other one, Rachel, whatever her name is, she was head of the NAACP. Does she share any of the money
that she had when she got her check with any black women? Did she knock on the door and say, you know, I think I'm really feeling this, and I think I need to help these people? She got a check. This woman got a check, and nobody said anything about fraud. I mean, her parents even came forth and said, she is not black. And you all are sitting down here cursing and splitting hairs, and I'm listening to you, and no matter what I, you know, did, if I dyed my hair, if I dyed my skin, I would not want to be anything other than who I am. And the fact that someone that would even say that out of their face, it says, you know, you need some examination. Now, I think you should do some reading up. I think you should read the book, and you still might come out with the same thing. But I look at some of the people in the administration that we have, and next to Omarosa, none of them, all I've ever heard white women say, well, she doesn't have the kind of background. She's not qualified. She was more qualified than anybody in that White House. She was more qualified than anybody sitting there saying what they said.
Hey,
you know, I just think some people just don't like her. I probably, if I met her, I don't know, maybe I would hate her guts. But she's not a friend of mine. I'm just dealing with what I'm seeing.
Yeah, and hey, and we all are. And that's part of the richness of the discussion. It's to get us to kind of think about this could happen in our real lives, right? We know people who are out here fronting, or we know the struggle of black women. And it was an opportunity to kind of talk about it. Hey, Deborah, as always, I appreciate you. And that's why we brought up the conversation, to have this type of discussion. Mm-hmm. And it goes understated that it's hard out here to be a brother or sister. Yeah. And folks have been coming at Omarosa for a long time. And
she had receipts, Gregory.
Yes, she does. She does. And but she I think she's also receipts. And she's also an example of, if you think people come for Omarosa, what do you think is happening to the other black men and women who are just trying to do their everyday life and everyday jobs, the heat that's coming for them? So as always, Deborah, I appreciate you so much. And it wouldn't have been 100th episode without if you didn't you. Call in. So thank you so much, Deborah.
Take care, ladies.
Thank you.
All right,
and gentlemen.
Appreciate one. You. Bye. Yes, indeed. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And hey, that's why we bring it up, so people can talk about
some
of the real things, which is, it's hard being a sister.
Oh, yeah. And to be fair, I don't think any of us like either of those people. No. Right. It's just that this particular segment forces us to make a choice.
And that's why we do it. That's what makes for good and right. Like, that's
so, just in case anybody thinks we're endorsing Rachel Zolezal, we are not.
No.
Okay.
Man, where to go to next? I'm not sure if we should go to
Is there any more unlisted?
Yes. There's Illmatic, or there's
Let's
Oben.
Do them quick.
Okay.
Or Kanye.
All right. All right. First, all right. Three more. We're doing quick. Better for the Underdogs. Illmatic or Enter the Woo. Illmatic by Nas or Enter the Woo by Wu-Tang. Wu-Tang.
I'm going to go ahead and say Illmatic, quick, easy.
I don't know if it's that easy.
For me, it is.
I don't know.
For me, it personally is. I'm going to say Illmatic too.
What? For the Underdogs? Gotta be kidding me.
Nice.
All right, so the IG poll, 60% Illmatic, 40% Enter the Woo.
Yeah, I mean, music is subjective, you know, but for me personally, Nas is, and especially Illmatic, it's iconic.
Agree. And I think better album is, this is a toss-up, right? It's, I lean slightly towards Illmatic, but better for the Underdogs. It's hard enough to get two or three people, especially as Underdogs, sometimes to work together. They had 9 dudes work together from Staten Island, signed some historic record deals, both as a group and individually. There's a lot to learn about team dynamics, about doing business with your friends and family. Like, I think better for the Underdog story, I think it's tough, right? It's, they're both fantastic stories, but I lean towards better for the Underdogs. Into the Woo and Wu-Tang over Nas, who also is out here making this good money with some of his investments.
I thought we were supposed to go through this quickly. I mean,
I know
we're
not. Yeah,
you got your, you know, you got your opinion. We got ours.
All right, that's all right. Next one. All right, Ben Carson.
What? I hate this game.
Wait, you
I hate this game. We don't need the clip, man.
You don't like this. What America is about. I just want you to hear his voice.
A land of dreams and opportunity. Yo, there were other immigrants in the bottom of slavery.
And who?
Would you rather have old Kanye or old Ben Carson? Not current Ben Carson, not current Kanye, but old Ben or old Kanye. Better for the underdog.
All right, TLC, you go first.
Old Kanye.
What?
Yes. She says old Kanye. So me, I say gifted hands, neurosurgeon, Dr. Ben Carson.
Like exactly. Think big,
gifted hands. Come on, these are books I did actually read. He's like saving people's lives here. Old Kanye just made a hot
Kanye could
record.
Save people's lives too.
Nah.
College dropout?
This dude is a neurosurgeon. I mean, I can't.
Even Kanye
would say, I mean, I ain't. Saving babies.
808 Heartbreak didn't save people's lives. That was an emotional
Dark Twisted
album.
Fantasy saved mine. But I'm just saying.
Hey, I'm late registration right now. Going back to school.
See? There you go.
What if you ever had a brain tumor?
As a matter of fact, through the wire, Kanye might have needed old Ben. And there you go. And that's all the answer. Right. Okay. Although 71% of underdogs said Kanye.
Of course they did.
But degree of difficulty, it's kind of hard to grow up from the projects of Detroit and become the best neurosurgeon in the world.
Come on, kid.
Old Ben, gifted hand. You know how many people, the moms and dads was like, yo,
read this book. I had to do three book reports at
no,
home
no
for
mama
my parents.
Dad, no mom or dad said, go get college dropout.
Said, write me the book report all day. That was my punishment. And it was great. I love that book.
All right. I'm going with old Ben.
Okay. All righty.
The underdogs don't agree with me. All right. Last one. Better for underdogs. Hellos or goodbye?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's why we do it. That's why we do it.
That's a tough
one. And it's okay if you want to go metaphorically.
Yeah.
But it's for your answer here. Because that's where I'm going to end up, but I'm not going to tell you which one yet.
Yeah. You know what? I'm gonna have to go ahead and say hellos. Jumping into new things, taking those risks is definitely tough, you know? But you know what I like to see is aloha, which means both hello and goodbye, because it's just...
That ain't fair.
It's just... It's tough.
Stop being so intelligent. Like, right? That, it's not better language for the underdogs.
Aloha! Because it's just as hard to say goodbye as it is to say hello sometimes. So,
Terry Lynn, you're not allowed to pick a word that means hello and goodbye.
Okay, I'm going to say hello because I feel like hellos introduce you to something new. It gives you the option to figure out if you want to stick through something or if you want to make it permanent or not. You have that option in the beginning. But I feel like a goodbye is just so definitive. You know what I mean? It's just like, all right, this is the end. And that's that. So I think for the underdogs, hello would be the better choice.
Is it me you're looking for?
Hello. Lionel Richie and the underdogs, 86% say hello.
Mm-hmm. You see, we always get it right.
It's goodbye. I'm going with goodbyes because, and this is more bigger picture, I think that from the day we're born to as the years go on, we get hellos both by choice and some by force. The way society sees you, the way you're perceived as a woman or as a man or your sexuality, all these things. So, and then you're meeting people like family where you didn't even get to choose to say hello to them, but they're like given to you as a hello as part of your life. And so to me, I think for underdogs, it's the ability to also learn how to say goodbye to things that no longer work for us. Goodbyes allow for room for all the hellos that you want going forward. And I think it's also just tougher. We don't spend as much time on how to say goodbye as much as we always are saying hello to things. So I just think that goodbye is a place where there's something for underdogs to really have something special happen so you can actually have even more hellos.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes people take too long to say goodbye to something and it actually holds you back from your next hello.
That's right. True. So that's why I side with that idea of like, how do you gracefully and with honor say goodbye? And also how do you unlearn some things to say goodbye to too?
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. All right, that was Unlisted.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat quickly, but somewhat not, because we like Unlisted. So that's what happens. We got callers. We got
shout out to Deborah. Yo.
We got
thank
polls.
You.
Shout out to Daryl, who also filled out the poll too, and he weighed in with his answers earlier online. So appreciate Daryl from the 215 checking in the 212. With that, it is time for two more things before we get out of here.
Okay.
Uninhibited and Underdog Spotlight.
Okay.
I do want to do a quick Underdog Spotlight because I want to make sure that we just acknowledge some people for getting us to 100, mm-hmm. and that, and then we'll do Uninhibited like we do
yeah
in the show.
Let's do it last.
Okay. All right. I'm going to poll you.
Okay.
There's word that life expectancy is to like about 80. For people who've been born after 2000, any of you born after 2000 here?
No.
If you were, you'd be expected to live to 100.
Okay.
So there's research that's from Stanford about what are the things you can do to live to 100. Like you can add years to your life. And I'm going to see if you can guess which ones they are.
Okay.
All right. Take a vacation.
Yes.
How many years do you think that adds to your life?
10. How many? I'm going to say 15.
1 to 2 years.
What? That's still a long time.
That's still, hey, you're getting closer. All right. Getting a hobby. How many years do you think it has to your life?
5. I'm going to say 8.
2.
Okay. Wow. Still get a hobby, though.
Yeah, you should still get a hobby. If you sleep in, how many years?
I feel like that's minus something because I feel like you're not supposed to sleep that long. I'm going to say 3.
Oh, that's close. 2. You know why? Most Americans don't get enough sleep. So actually, if you can get to 7 or 8 hours, which most people aren't, that'll help add a year to your life. But those are the, all years matter. But now let's get to the
all years matter.
Black lives matter too.
Black History Month.
All months matter, but February is the best.
February is the best. Why is it the shortest?
That's hours. Setup.
All right. But the big ones, there's a couple that can give you big years on your life. Loading up on fruits and vegetables. How many?
10.
5.
So I'm going to eat that steak then.
How about having sex?
10. I'm going to say 15 again.
3 to 5.
Damn.
Wow. Really?
You got to do all these things, right? There's no silver bullet. There's no one thing that fits all, right? It's just.
That should extend your life.
That should extend. Pause. Sorry. Okay.
Well, if you sleep in, take a vacation, have some sex, eat some fruits and veggies, you might be able to add like a bunch of years to your life. And you know which
keep
one?
Keep it PG, Gregory.
I'm just saying. You know what will add the most years to your life based on the study? Flossing.
Yes.
No, not balling, like not that flossing. Okay. Not drive slow, homie.
That's
flossing.
The one thing that everybody forgets to do.
It'll give you 6.4 more years to your life. So yeah. All that other stuff, just floss.
Mm-hmm.
And you live to 100.
That's interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, you didn't see.
A whole bunch of stuff gets into your bloodstream when you don't floss.
And cut down on stress. Those are the two that give you 6+ years. So cut down on stress and floss a lot. And then have sex, lots of veggies, take vacations, sleep in.
Mm-hmm.
Do it all to die. All right. Uninhibited.
Oh, does that say get on Tinder? Take a vacay? Is that what you wrote? Yeah, oh, instead of...
yes.
I'm sorry. I'm reading these notes here.
Get on Tinder. Take a vacay with your boo.
Not Bumble. Tinder? That's what you're doing?
Or okay, ChristianMingle.com. Probably add about 8 years to your life. Jesus. Like closer to God.
Less stress.
Less stress.
And if you flossing in on Christian Mingle, you'll be in good standing. All right. But I do got to say one thing. Because folks have asked, how do you make it with 100? How did sharing some things I've learned along the way. And we've learned to get to 100 episodes. One is you got to keep going. Asha brings this up all the time. Consistency is a big deal. One of the things that helped is having a radio show be the catalyst to make sure that we're producing content every week. And so I would say to folks, keep going, but find who your accountability buddy is going to be. In this case, WHCR is what kept us going. Also, continue to test and learn. We test different segments, different guests. We always know that it's never perfect. It's always a work in progress. And we kept testing and learning. Also, enjoy the journey. We've had some fun along the way. Like Asha used to freestyle. And that is definitely enjoying the journey, especially since I'm not that good at freestyling. Also, invite the audience in. Both of you have been very pressed to make sure we do the IG lives, we do the Facebook lives, we do IG polls to get people involved. Also, for those who are trying to figure out, like, how do you know what you should talk about? I learned along the way, if you think if you can write about it, you could probably talk about it on your. And if you can't write about it, it probably wouldn't make it onto your episode. Also, get support. And we've had a lot of support from each other and other people. So with that, I do want to say some quick thank yous before we do Uninhibited. Thank you to everyone who's watched the live show. Folks like Deborah from Manhattan, Daryl.
He really did have Deborah written down on
I think sometimes we say, oh, I can't thank everybody. It's like, no, this is a big deal. And so I want to make sure we thank folks. Deborah from Manhattan, Tanya from Harlem,
woo!
James from Harlem, Barry from, I believe, Yonkers, and all the people who've listened over the 100 episodes. Also, all the folks who've downloaded the podcast, over 24,000 podcasts, all because of you. Also, folks who've helped me along the journey, Bob Marone, Nick, Tommy, Sam from my Dudes of Disruption days, Asha, Tashima, Stan, Kevin, Selena from my WHCR family days, and shout out to folks who make the show possible, Megan, Kayla, Kirsten Magwood, TLC, and of course, Asha Destiny Davis. They talk about your day ones. Well, Asha's been a day one supporter of this show and the things we've been doing in the world. And so it's awesome that you're actually here in person for me to say that to you. Thank you. So with that, last thank you is to the home, right? You got to have a home to do this. And the home of the show is WHCR 90.3 FM, the Voice of Harlem, Angela Harding, Tina Dixon, and the whole WHCR family. This is the farewell show for Underdog Stuff. Given that I'm moving to Philly and I'm going to be doing some stuff with my education, Underdog Stuff will live on. Later this year, we'll relaunch and come back. But this is the last show on WHCR. And I'm grateful for the 100 episodes and the 2+ years here. And with that, we'll end the show similar to how we used to end some shows in the past with Uninhibited. And then I'll leave you with my favorite quote.
All right. So we got 1 minute. He always gives me the last 30 seconds. So my question is, this is the 100th show. This is the last show. We got 100. We're going to keep it 100. What is your number? We know you did 100 shows. What's your number?
My number?
Your number.
I don't know if I made it to 100.
I'm asking what you made it to.
I think that I've made it to.
You're over 40. It's okay.
Yeah, I'm over 40, literally and figuratively.
And with that,
I'm gonna leave you with my favorite quote because the favorite quote is apropos to that question too. But with that. With that, shout out to the whole WHCR family. If you want to keep up with the things I'm doing in the world, go to gregorynesmith.com. That's GregoryNesmith.com. Go to gregorynesmith.com. Click the subscribe button so you can keep up with things. I publish a newsletter and also on my website, all the other things I'm up to, live events, articles, shows, things like that. With that, I'm going to leave you with my favorite quote.
Okay.
We've done this every episode, and so it's no different this time. Underdogs, no matter what the number is, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.